Greetings and welcome to our second installment of our study of Parashat Shemot. And today we're going to take a look at some features that begin in the first Aliyah, but conclude in the second Aliyah. And that is the two stories that make up the bulk of the first chapter, beginning with Pasuk Chet, ending in Pasuk Chaf Bet, verses 8 through 22. And in these 15 verses, we hear about two different strategies employed by the king of Egypt to try to, in one form or another, make Am Yisrael disappear. After his initial presentation to his nation, in Pasuk 8, 9, and 10, we hear about the establishment of a labor tax. Take a look at the Ramban here in these few Pesukim. You could see how he presents it. Then Psukim Yod Aleph and Yod Bet and Yod Gimel and Yod Dalet. In those four Psukim, we hear about the plan to enslave the Bnei Yisrael and have them work for Mitzrayim. And then in Pasuk Tedvav through Chaf Aleph, we hear about a whole different plan that takes place not publicly, but rather in which the king of Egypt addresses the midwives, evidently the chief midwives, who are in charge of delivering the babies for the Hebrew women and giving them the awful orders to, in some way or another, identify the baby boys and have them killed either in utero or right at birth. And because of their fear of God, they refuse to do so and report back to Paro that the Hebrew women give birth before they can even get there. The text concludes with something of a combination in which Paro again addresses all the people, and there's no longer any discretion held, but the order is again related to infanticide, and that is to have all of the baby boys thrown into the river. In the next podcast, we'll discuss a little bit about the implications of that in the context of the birth of Moshe. But you notice that there are two distinct plans being employed here. One which is public and one which relates to enslavement and slavery. And the second one, which is originally a discrete plan, a secretive plan, which deals with the orders of infanticide. And these two plans really, if you think about it, are emblematic of two different perspectives on understanding events in Jewish history, and in which we have to understand that both of them play a role. If we take a look at any major event in our history, they ask the question, why did it happen? Why did the destruction of the temple in the year 70 happen? Why did certain terrible events in the last couple of centuries happen to our people? Why did some miraculous events take place, such as the reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty and the miraculous war of 1967? Why did these things happen? And there are always two types of answers. An easy way to begin this is to take a look at Sefer Yehoshua Perek Zion. In Sefer Yehoshua, after the miraculous and overwhelming victory over the city of Jericho, the next city that the people go to attack under the direction of Yehoshua is Ha'ai. And Yehoshua sends out some spies to Ha'ai, and they come back and they say, "Ah, it's no big deal. Send 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers. Don't tire everyone out. It's not a big nation." And Yehoshua sends a few soldiers, and we are beaten, and 36 soldiers die, and it turns out to be a major crisis of faith, which is finally repaired when God informs Yehoshua that there's a whole other thing happening, which is that one member of the tribe of Yehudah, his name is Achan, took from the spoils of Jericho, and that put all of Am Yisrael in the blight in Cherem, and could not be repaired until he was identified and executed, etc. And that's what plays out in Perek Zion. So if you ask the question, why did we lose at Ha'ai, there are two different answers, each of which is correct. We lost at Ha'ai because of bad military intelligence, and as a result of that sloppy battlefield strategy. We also lost at Ha'ai because there was a theological problem, there was a religious deficiency in the people, and that was the Cherem. Neither answer is the complete answer, and each answer really fills a different piece of the question. If we're to look at it externally, through cause and effect that can be measured, we take a look. Military intelligence was poor. but our understanding that all of Jewish history is ultimately authored by the author of all, we understand that the success of Am Yisrael is dependent on their moral rectitude and on their spiritual strength, and that every failure in Am Yisrael is a reflection of spiritual failing and religious, shall we say, sloth, then we understand that also when great things happen or when terrible things happen, underneath there's a religious cause, a cause that is related to our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. So now we look at the question of why Am Yisrael were enslaved in Egypt in such terrible oppression that they had to be yanked out. And there really are two different answers. One answer is an answer that a political scientist would give. If you take a look at the end of Parshat Vayigash, you see that Joseph, the foreigner who had come to rule in Egypt, eventually enslaved all of the indigenous Egyptians. The two groups that were not enslaved were the high priests of Egypt and Joseph's own family. Well, it's very easy to understand how that worm can turn, and how the locals could then be turned against the Hebrews and be told, look at this, these people are outsiders, and they came in, and they are the noble elite. In the meantime, we're all slaves. It's very easy to see that as an opportunity for a new leader to turn around and say, let's enslave them. On the other hand, there is a far deeper cause, and this is something that Chazal point to, and it's very clear in the text, that the reason that we ended up in Egypt at all, and therefore the reason that we ended up enslaved, was because of the way we treated each other. In other words, the way that the brothers treated Yosef. Because of the way the brothers treated Yosef, and threw him in a pit, and eventually he was sold as a slave to Egypt, and that's how we ended up there. That is a sin in Sefer Bereishit, which only finds its fruition and achieves its terrible potential in Sefer Shemot, in the servitude. And indeed, Chazal point out in several places, as an example, when they say that a person should never favor one son over the others because of the, as we see, the beautiful coat that Jacob gave his son Joseph. The brothers had were jealous of him, and one thing led to another until finally were enslaved in Egypt. So the rabbis see this connection. Take a look at our story. There are two different events taking place. There is the enslavement of Yosef's family, meaning Yosef's brother's descendants, and that is, of course, a direct outcome of Yosef himself enslaving the Egyptians. And on the other hand, there is the terrible decree of infanticide, in which the Pharaoh decrees that the midwives execute, kill the infants. Notice that the word lialed, yod lamed dalet, in one form or another, shows up 11 times in that passage. And remember that, of course, Yosef had 11 brothers. The 12th time that it shows up is in the final pasuk, in the public decree called aben hayilod. A second piece is that there is a verb that Paro utilizes here. And Paro certainly didn't say this verb. Paro spoke in Egyptian. So the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had us read this word in Ivrit, in Hebrew, is a verb that is normally not used in the context of people, and that's lahashlich, to throw down. You throw down a stick, you throw down a stone, you don't throw down a person. But this word, called aben hayilod hayaora tashlichuhu, cast him down into the Nile, is a word that the brothers used in the context of Yosef, hashlichu oto alabor, throw him, cast him into this pit. And it's as if the text is telegraphing to us that the reason for this terrible decree against the children is the outcome of the terrible way that we treated each other. And therein lies the inner reason, the moral reason, the religious reason for the servitude, which of course has around it the direct cause and effect political reason of the enslavement. Inside of it is something far more insidious, and ultimately, our success, or our failure, our survival, in one measure or another, is due to our own loyalty to each other, and our own loyalty to the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to our relationship with Him.